Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, cheese enthusiasts of all ages. My name is Jared, and with me is one of the cheesiest guys I know, Ian.
Oh, that's me.
We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Today, we're at the featured table, where we will be looking at Formaggio, designed by Ben Rossett, artwork created by Pavel Joba, and published by R2I, or Road to Infamy Games.
Formaggio is a 1-4 player cheese game, where players make beautiful cheese, pair them with delicate wines, sell them across the globe, hit the streets of Venice, and eat cheese on the gondolas, or around them, or in them. Or let their cheese age like fine wine. Hmm. Players will, you gotta have fine wine.
They don't know, Ian. That's why we're talking about.
You have to have fine wine. Fine cheese, fine wine. Ta-da! Players will place their special cheese makers each turn to take advantage of the region they are in. You will continue until you run out of cheese and the game ends. The player who scores the most points is crowned the greatest cutter of cheese. I mean, sorry, the greatest maker of cheese. The greatest cheese maker. The greatest cheese. Let's review Formaggio.
Formaggio. Ian, thank you for that wonderfully cheesy introduction. I'm curious, what cheese do you dislike the most? See, you thought I was going to ask you which cheese you liked the most.
Yeah. What a cheese do I dislike the most?
Yeah. Which one are you like? What is this? What is this cheese?
What's, I think it's brie? Is that what it is?
You don't like
it's,
brie?
It's like, it's just requires too much work. It's like, it's just not... It's too hard to eat.
It's too hard to eat. No, we're done. You've answered the question.
I don't particularly like cottage cheese. I don't know if that really counts.
No, that 100% counts. I hadn't thought of that, but cottage cheese is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, cottage cheese is not particularly my favorite, but
no, I don't like eating mold.
Were you like blue cheese?
I actually do like blue cheese, though.
Okay, well, that's plenty
of
mold.
We're not going to talk about it.
Okay.
The inconsistency there. For me, it's Swiss cheese. There is nothing redeeming about Swiss cheese at all.
Nothing.
I don't understand it. I don't know why people like it. I mean, I just don't. It's not good.
Yeah, it's fine. It goes...
With what? What does it go with?
It's a ham and Swiss, like a
nope.
grilled ham and Swiss.
Nope. There's so many cheeses I would rather put on that sandwich.
There is particular Swiss instances obsolete. Where the Swiss cheese flavor doesn't get in the way of everything that's going on, where some of your other cheeses, you know, might overpower what's going on. So
what you're saying makes no sense to me.
What I'm saying is the Swiss cheese flavor blends well in with specific types of meals or food.
Yeah, I disagree.
Like ham and Swiss is a classic flavor combo.
You're coming back to it. I just don't understand why. It's not good.
He just doesn't like it. You know, if we're talking about cheeses that we do like, though.
Okay, all right.
What's that cheese that it's basically... It's
we're
a ball.
Real cheese experts, by the
it's
way.
It's a ball. I bought it. I just forget. Is it burrata?
It's brie.
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah, I like brie, actually. It's my most favorite and my least favorite. It's the cheese that comes in. It looks like a mozzarella ball, but then you cut it open, yeah. And it's like kind of, it's very gooey and stuff on the inside.
It is that. I can't believe that's your favorite. That's crazy.
Well, no. On the regular, I don't ever buy that, but I'm saying what I've made, and one of my favorite appetizers I've made at home is like some... balsamic vinegar, like cherries, mm-hmm. fresh cherries. And then with that and like lemon zest, it was like the best thing I've ever made. And so Again, it requires a lot of work, so I don't do it very often. But it was so good. It's very, you know, get some like toasted crackers and stuff. It's really good. So
I just love this image of you in the kitchen accidentally making something great and deciding this is one of my favorite foods of all time now because I've made this.
It was very good.
Nice.
It was not an entree, but hey, it was. I made steaks after and it was very good.
Okay. I like lots of different cheeses. It's hard to pick just one, but I'm going to cheat a little bit. Pimento cheese is up there as one of my favorites.
Pimento's delicious. Pretty good.
Yes.
Pimento's good. That's just got a bunch of different cheeses in it. I mean,
it's true. That's what makes it great.
Really, so, you know, stops up everything on the way in. And
well,
out.
You know, it's fine. We gotta take sacrifices for great things. So.
The question is American cheese actually cheese?
Well,
do you count?
Are you talking about like the plastic that you buy and the 50
craft cent? Singles are crafts?
Oh no, that's plastic. Like 98%. There's more plastic in the cheese than there is on the wrapper. You could actually cook the wrapper and just throw away the cheese, and you might get more nutrients. As someone who grew up on it, I'm a professional when it comes to this.
But is it good on a burger?
No.
No.
You know what I have found is actually one of my favorite cheeses on a burger?
Gouda.
That is also very good. Havarti is very good as a burger cheese.
Yeah. I just, American cheese on a burger is what I want.
I think it's fine.
It melts so easily.
It does. It's the plastic.
Yeah, it just kind of blends in. I'm into this smash burger phase right now. So like the cheese of choice is just something that melts over the a greasy burger, but like just, I want something that melts easy. So on that smash burger, that's kind of what I like. But
not to rabbit trail completely, but smash burgers. As someone who loves his burger medium rare and not as flat as a small pancake crepe, the only way you're going to get me on a smash burger is if there's an excellent sauce that goes with it.
Yeah.
Then I'll tolerate it, but I'm still like, we could have had a quarter pounder and this would be better. I'm just saying.
You have to do it right. A smash burger that's overcooked is nasty. And
but that's like the whole point, right? Like,
yes, you're doing it wrong. So
I'm not doing it wrong. I would never make a smash burger in my life.
I've been making them on the Blackstone. It's so good. But, so a good smash burger, you're cooking it for like a minute on like really hot, smash it down. And so it retains all the juices, all the fat, you get a lot of flavor and you get that nice, like, it's like a steak. You get that charred outside. Especially on one side, and then the cheese kind of blends everything together, that American cheese particularly. Or Swiss. You could do Swiss as well.
Yuck. Let's just Swiss, go ahead and ruin it.
Swiss melts well as well into it as well.
Goodness gracious.
But you know, anyway, it's all about doing it right. You gotta do it right. You know, you gotta maintain
the cheese. You gotta make the cheese right. And not use Swiss. If you use Swiss, you're an amateur. All right, I'm just kidding. If
anyway,
you like Swiss, I mean, you have subpar taste buds, but you're not an amateur.
I don't particularly like Swiss, but it does pair well when you've got these other flavors going on.
I swear on this whole podcast, if you say ham and Swiss one more time.
No. Like a mushroom and Swiss burger? Ooh.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Nope. Now we're just, nope, we're done. Let's move on. We're making it worse.
Well, I don't think there's Swiss cheese in this game, but maybe there is. Who knows?
I don't know, man. Tell us how to play.
Tell us how to play. Why don't you tell us how to play since you like cheese so much?
Okay. So Formaggio, as Ian failed to mention his cheesy little opening, is a simultaneous play, simultaneous action. Is that right? Gosh, we're supposed to know board games. This is so embarrassing.
Yes,
one moment.
It's simultaneous action or simultaneous
play. No, simultaneous worker placement game where players are using their three workers to place on various, like there's, God almighty. All right, let's start over.
Would you like me to explain this game?
I actually would. Yeah, I don't want to teach this game.
All right, well, as I failed to mention in the preview of this game is a simultaneous worker placement game where players will be placing one of their three workers, which are proficient in soft cheese, hard cheese, and blue cheese.
The best.
I don't know how you're proficient in one or many of those, but they are these particular workers. And so you're going to be placing them on your board. On your turn, you're going to have really two locations with a potential third to place. But starting out, you'll be able to place in the top square of the board is kind of how you gain resources. So the different resources in the game are order cards, buildings, fruits, and then livestock, animals, cows, sheep.
The things that make cheese.
Yes, exactly. Goats too, I think there's in there as well.
Definitely goats.
Yeah. So you can place one of your workers in one of those locations only in the region that you are in that is facing you at the time of this turn or this round in particular. You have three locations kind of within those, a one, a two, and a three. When you place there, that's how many rounds it'll take to get that worker back and retrieve them. So the more resources that you gain, the longer it'll take to get that worker back, but you're going to gain more resources. Another thing you can do instead of doing that or in together with that action, you can do both of these together if you would like, is to place one of your workers in the actual region space itself. Now, there's a couple different ones that I'll get to. Like I said, there's one where you're kind of dispersing these cheeses amongst the different countries around Italy, and you're kind of selling it off to the different regions. When you place there, you'll just pick a location similar to the one, two, and three inside those squares. It's kind of a similar aspect as you have bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. Now, in that order, it takes one, two, three, and four turns to get that worker back, with the platinum being the strongest of them and gaining the most on the board, especially when it comes to the regions. It's very helpful in gaining a lot of board state and really helps gain a lot of points. Now, each of the regions are different. We'll kind of talk to this as we go through this episode, but that's the general principle. Once you have either placed in one or both, then you pass and you wait for everybody to finish placing theirs, and then that's it. You turn the board clockwise and you continue on. Once you retrieve your workers at the beginning of the next turn or after the whole board rotates, you'll gain the workers back that are facing you. Like I said, so if you place last turn and it was just a one, then you would gain it back basically immediately at the beginning of the next turn. But those ones that you push out further and further, you might go a whole region where you don't have any workers because you only have three. One of the other locations that can end up happening is placing on your player board, which keep track of some additional actions that you can unlock or some special abilities or things that kind of help you go along. On top of this board as well is where you're going to be collecting your livestock and your fruit. You're going to be able to exchange these livestock for specific extra actions, like placing cheese in another region that you would normally not be able to place more than one of your workers in a location. That's one of the really cool things, is when you're placing a worker, you can only place one inside the region or in any of the two spots particularly. But when you use the livestock, it allows you to trigger that again without placing a worker, and you just place a cheese down instead, which is really neat.
Sure, because I'm not sure I heard you correctly, and it could be my dumb brain. But just to clarify, you can place a worker in the main region and one in the resource area on the same turn.
Yes, yes, okay. You can place them in both, but you can place it in one and not the other.
Correct.
You could also pass. Yep. Yeah, you could just pass, but you can't place two into one section.
Correct. Yep.
Again, once everybody kind of passes for the round, you return the whole board, the whole turntable, the wheel, the cheese wheel, one turn so that a new region is in front of each player. You continue doing this until you run out of cheese. So one thing I forgot to mention is when you place a worker down, he goes into a specific spot, especially, and this is not in the resource part. This is in the actual region part. You take a little piece of cheese that goes into kind of the little dude standee, which is, I think, is really cool. But it fits into a slot on the board, which is recessed down. And so it stays there for the rest of the game for scoring purposes later. And so when you retrieve your worker, your little piece of cheese stays in that spot, showing that you claimed that little spot on the board. Again, like I said, you continue doing this until somebody runs out of cheese, and then you add up the points from the different regions. So the different regions I kind of briefly talk about it. One I already mentioned is kind of the actual regions of selling cheese and dispersing them amongst the other regions of the world and other countries around Italy. So that's one way to do it. You're just kind of gaining points based off how many you have, based off how many flags that you end up collecting. There's another one where there's the gondolas, where you're placing cheese kind of throughout the city. And basically for how many gondolas are around your particular cheese, you're going to gain points. And it gets multiplied by each other, which is really cool. The other region is the collecting wines. So you're going to be placing your little cheese down, collecting bottles of wine and pieces. It's basically like giant puzzle pieces, kind of piecing them together. For how many bottles of wine you get, you're going to get so many points. So the more bottles of wine you get, the more points you get. The last one, Jared, please remind me. This one is very, like, I don't really know how to define this one. You're kind of just collecting rows and columns with your cheese. I don't really know the thematic element
you're
of this
one. You're aging your cheese.
You're aging it.
I don't know the science behind aging cheese, so please don't ask me to elaborate, but I believe that is what you're doing.
Yes, it feels it. Yes, you're. But anyway, you're doing rows and columns of your cheese pieces, and you know that nasty Swiss cheese goes on the bottom shelf of the Bronze Age, basically. So anyway, you will add up all the points based on each of these tiles or these regional pieces that you score. Everybody scores each individual one differently. You also score based off how many leftover resources you have, also the player board that you have in front of you. You add this all up, and ta-da, the player with the most points is declared the winner. So let's go back to the table.
All right, so I'm just going to jump right into it.
Do it.
And what's your favorite region of the four quadrants?
I like the regional thing. I know. I guess I don't even know what if these are.
They're
quadrants technically, but
they each have a name too.
They each have a name, so I called them regions. It's a little confusing, but there's a quadrant. There's four quadrants in the game. The one that I like the most is the one with the regional things, where you're kind of selling your cheese across the different regions of around you.
You like Regioni.
Regioni, there you go. So, I like the idea of being able to piece together, you know, you're looking at it, and everybody's kind of competing very similarly, but there's sacrifices you have to make when placing workers in this game just in general. You have to make a sacrifice because you can't, the platinum locations are, it takes four turns to get your guy back. That is a long time.
It's a commit. Yeah.
It is a commit to do that. But those, you're going to have to, I think you have to get a platinum spot somewhere, especially if that's where you're really trying to score, because they're so strong. Those spots on the board are so strong. And so I really like that kind of mental games you're playing there of like, which of the spots do I want and how do I get there? I think it's the most fun for me of trying to like piece together the different combinations of scoring the high flag count versus the amount of regions that you end up doing. How about you?
I love the gondolas, which is Venezia.
There you go.
And I love when you can kind of have one thing count for multiple things. And so learning how to stack your gondolas around the cheese that you've already placed so that they work for both cheeses and count twice is a really fun exercise for me in learning how to navigate that board. So that one is easily my favorite. I also love just the idea of selling cheese on the river market and that sort of thing. So that's my favorite for sure. So on the flip side of that, I am confident we will agree, but I'm curious what you'll say. Which one is your least liked region?
The wine bottles.
With Vigneto? I'm sure I said that wrong. I would have to agree. The wine bottle collecting for me was very lackluster. I know that you get resources throughout the game, but the commit to get, like, points is rough. But I started with that because I think that it's very interesting because every game, these four regions are in a different combination, as well as the different four seasons, which hold the resources, are also mixed up. And so sometimes, not only the way the setup happens, but the way people play, you have to adapt to what the board is giving you a little bit and saying sometimes, well, I guess I'm going to collect wine bottles, even though it's not really what I want to do. And so I think that's probably my favorite mechanic in this game, of creating lots of different paths to victory, but also creating this tactical adjustment of, well, crap, Ian just totally screwed me up because he is taking over the stuff I really want to do, but he and everybody else are completely ignoring this other region, so I can maximize that. And when I maximize that, I potentially should get a lot of points for it. But I'm curious if you have a favorite mechanic off of that as well.
There's just so much. There's so many paths to victory. Like, I've scored 45 points in one region or one quadrant, and in another game I scored another 40. And you can score a massive amount of points if you focus on its particular quadrants, and you can score them very effectively, depending on how well you do in the region. And I think that's really neat. I think there's a lot of potential there. But like you're saying, you are reacting to, one, how the board is set up, because every game is different. Like, spring isn't always in this quadrant. It changes. Everything is very modular in that way. And there's also, like, other little boards and stuff that kind of change the variety of where specific locations are, and, like, it changes the gold to the platinum in specific spots, like, depending on how where the cheeses kind of lock in on specific things. There's a lot of variability there, which I think is really cool. But because of the variability, like, you can't go in with these expectations of how you're gonna know. Are you gonna sit in the are you gonna sit in the winemaking part first? Are you going to do aging cheese first? Like, where you sit first, especially in a 3 or 4 player game, does matter, because that you're waiting 3 or 4 turns before you get the region that you might have wanted or that you're trying to target. And it might be hard, because then those really platinum level locations might be gone by now, and then you can't really focus in on it as much as you wanted to. So like you're saying, there's a lot of things you're kind of adapting to and kind of seeing how the players play it out. Like we said, the wine one, I don't know how well that one does. I think that one I haven't seen done well. I think there's a potential for, and I want to give it the benefit of the doubt, but just hasn't happened in our games where somebody has used that effectively to really, boost their score. Because I just don't think the total output of points there is high. It can score, though. If you get a lot of wine bottles, you can score a good amount of points. It's just you're going to need to score well in other regions as well. I think there's one thing I love is that it's not one region that's going to literally win you the game. You have to be good in multiple quadrants of the board or regions. And I think that's important to note, is that you can't just focus in on one. And so that's why I don't necessarily discount as much as the wine process as you particularly. I know I don't like it. I don't think it's not as fun. But I do think there's things you can do there that really, I don't know, you can build your score around doing that as well. I don't know how effective it is. I'd be curious, as we, play this game more and more, we kind of discover some of the other abilities in the game that we haven't really gotten into. Maybe there's some combinations there that work really well. I'd be curious. That's something that I didn't really describe, but as you kind of play through this game, it comes with a whole set of advanced abilities that you can kind of put on your player board, and it kind of gives you even more personality to your kind of like farm. And I think that's a really cool add. And I think that adds something new to even more to this game, but maybe there's something there that, you know, you can kind of work together with that wine process that, you know, you just don't really see in another game. But overall, I think, yeah, the options here are insane. Like every time you are thinking where I'm going to put stuff, you're focusing in on a couple different spots and really targeting those to score the most amount of points. I think that's such a neat aspect of the board's always turning and going, you know, clockwise around. And so it's going to come back to you, but you can't always play everywhere on the board. You have to play in your specific quadrant, which I think is an awesome idea.
So I agree with all that. The amount of moving pieces and deciding what to go where. I mean, I think part of why I just am really frustrated with the wine is I have maxed it out before and still felt like this is very lackluster compared to what you were putting out at the same time, which makes, I don't know. I'm not going to, I've played enough games long enough to just, I'm not going to go out there and be like, this is unbalanced, it sucks, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to do that because I know I haven't played enough. I feel like you got to play a game like 50 times before you can just make that claim.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's very interesting about playing into boards that you might not necessarily want to, whether because of the scoring that is happening on your own player board or just because you don't like it as much, is just about every board does have an opportunity for someone to run away with their score and get something really well. Do something really well. And so you've got to, it's this weird balance, right? Of you got to play the boards you want to play. You cannot do well on all four boards. It's, no. I don't think that's the design. I think you're supposed to really maximize two, do well in the third, and then
score a little bit in the last one.
And then the last one, you're just trying to be a pain in the butt. But in all of them, you have to figure out how to be a little bit mean to block people from really maximizing what they're doing, or they're just going to jack their score way up and you're going to be like, what happened? I mean, I know there's one game we were playing, we played with a new player who didn't know the value of blocking you. And I was like, I can try and block him, but then he has to block this other way. And if he doesn't block, then it's going to be this really like big thing. And so then I'm also with this dilemma of like, do I spend the resources to block you, knowing he's probably not going to block you because that's going to cost me a lot and cost him nothing, and then you're going to get the points anyways. And so it's like, what do you do?
Yep. That's the dilemma, though.
That's the dilemma
in a game like this, is that you have to, is it worth scoring my own points? Or I'm going to score my own points and hope somebody else blocks this person because I can't do that right now. Or do I just forget about my points and score minimal just to make a block move? And oftentimes I feel like in this game, yeah, there are opportunities to block. I think a lot of times it's probably worth it more to just continue to score your own points and see if you get in the way by doing so. But yeah, especially like I can imagine the aging cheese one. Like there are times where blocking somebody it actually legitimately won't score you any points. you have to be either vertically aligned or horizontally aligned. You could place an entire cheese and not score you a point if you're just trying to particularly block. So there are times where that is a hard decision to make, and sometimes it's not worth it because you're like, I could score an extra 7 points by doing this, or I could score 0 points probably and block him. Now he's not going to score another 10. So it's tough decisions.
I've technically gained 3 in the long run, like if you think about it.
But, right. Yeah.
But it's interesting because, I mean, that's why that particular one, you can get such a ridiculous amount of points, is because if everyone knows what they're doing, it should be extremely difficult to get the column of all four that gives you 18 points by itself. And then you can also use that same column to get more points elsewhere, you know? And so it's like you've just got to be aware when that region is in front of you what your role is, whether it's to build on that particular spot or to be a blocker. And there's a lot where, like, you're either going to get your guy back the very next turn or two turns away, and sometimes that sacrifice is worth it. But it is it's a learning curve too, right? Because you're, like, so focused on doing your thing the first few times you play, and until you really get into it and learn that, oh, this isn't just me playing by myself. There's actually some interaction here that I need to be thinking about. So anyways.
Yeah, no, I think that's an important thing to keep in track. And you are, you know, as you play this game and you get more comfortable, you are paying attention to what cheeses people have and what they're able to play. I guess one thing that we kind of didn't talk about is, you know, you have the soft, hard, and blue cheese workers. Well, those particular workers only go into specific locations on the board. You can't just place them anywhere. On the resources, you can. It doesn't matter. But on the pieces of the board, it is. There's only like three or four locations for the soft cheese and three or four locations for the hard cheese and three or four. So it becomes really challenging as you go on. You're like, well, I really want that spot, but I need to use this guy here and I'm not going to have him later. And these are decisions you're making. And that's why the depth here, I think, is really neat, because you are thinking ahead. Like the last game I played, it was one of the better games I've played in a while, just period of all game, because I could really, for some reason, it was just flowing that night of where, what I knew, what I really wanted to do. And so I was thinking like three revolutions of the board ahead of like, I'm going to use this guy here, that guy there, that guy there. And sometimes it got blocked, but then I had like backup plants, like everything. Sure. That was one of the weirdest games I've played. It was crazy. But it was that this game really prompts that idea of like kind of thinking ahead. Now you're playing a 4-player game. That's a little bit harder. It's not as easy to do. In a 2-to-3-player game, yeah, there's less people to kind of get in the way. And so you have options when you're playing stuff. And I think that's why I've just enjoyed that process, is the more I've played this one, because you can really start to plan ahead a little bit of like, okay, what's my overall strategy here? What am I going for? And what can I save now? What can I use now? The thing about it is you have like two spots on the board that you can play on your turn. And so it is simplified in that way. Now you can think the long game and think about what I'm doing ahead, but also you could just kind of play this game casually, throw some stuff on the board. I think it's such a neat idea that you're not overwhelmed by the amount of choices. Is normally, as the game especially progresses, you have one soft cheese and one, you know, hard cheese guy with you. Well, the soft cheese spots are taken, so you can't use him. And so then you can...
Yeah, it's very accessible for lots of different people to just kind of sit down, explain it relatively easily, and you can just kind of jump into it. Especially, I think that's part of why I like the simultaneous action mechanic so much. Because you can really kind of teach as you go, because there's not like everybody's watching you and then, well, what do you want to do? And you don't have any idea. But you can like at the same time, okay, we're all going to do this and then we're going to all do that. And you can make whatever decision you want, and you can kind of explain the regions one at a time, because it's like, okay, you're in this region. This is what this does. And really, the teach is so easy.
It is super easy to teach. Because you kind of explain, this is what you do on your turn. You take one of your guys down, up to two, put them down. There you go. And so then you explain the regions, and that's it.
For sure. Ian, I have stumbled across something. I was incorrect about the aging quadrant. So the theme is you deposit cheese in the Banca, which is a real bank in Italy that accepts cheese as collateral for loans.
No way.
That's 100% true.
Well, that platinum cheese is real expensive. I mean, a house with it.
Can you imagine?
No. That's crazy.
That's wild.
As collateral. Well, that adds a little bit more to the whole story, which I think is cool. So,
the more you know.
Anyway, that location is not my favorite.
There you go. Perfect. This is a expansion, technically. It's a standalone expansion for Fromage. If you look at Fromage, it looks very similar to this in what it's doing. The idea is that you could combine these if you want to and have it be its own thing. Ian, I had seen Fromage, but we never got around to playing it or getting to it. After playing Formaggio and then looking at Fromage, I was like, I don't know that I need this. So I'm happy with just Formaggio. I have no need to also go out and get Fromage. But if you only have Fromage, I can't really help you on whether or not you need this. Because I think Formaggio is probably better. Because usually with the standalone expansions, the follow-up has learned from some of its mistakes and has improved.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really played both either. The boards are going to be slightly different. And the aspect of this game in why they call it a standalone expansion is you can mix and match the different quadrants together to add this variety of the different things. The way the other boards work, when I looked at them and reviewed how those ones work compared to Fromaggio, they're similar in, you know, style. there is like a regional one in Fromage, but it's a little bit different. It doesn't score the same way. So it's just a different scoring. So I guess, you know, if you like one or the other, you know, having both is basically adds more to the boards and you get more there. But as far as like, you know, the different things that it's providing, it's doing a lot of the same things. Like, that's why it's a standalone expansion. It's not doing anything different. I would say that, you know, you're, as far as ratings wise, Fromaggio is higher rated, but I think that's can be bias because you get an expansion, yeah, and so it's hard to know which one is really better because one is usually from people that already like the first one. So hard to really compare there. I think overall, you know, if you get to try either of them, try it out. I think from my understanding is that Fromaggio adds a little bit more as far as variety, and it adds a little bit more depth in how the scoring works. And that's what I've been told, or that's how I've interpreted the difference. So I don't know, you know, what the actual details of that truly are, because I just haven't been able to, like you said, haven't been able to get to it. I'm not an expert in Fromage, but that's kind of the, you know, the thing that they were kind of claiming when the game came out as well. So,
but I feel like Fromaggio, at least, you get a ton of variability with like the boards changing. You can add new building tiles on your player board where you have different like things that you're working towards. I mean, I every board changes every time. So I just don't know that.
I think there's more structure like tiles in Fromaggio than in Fromage. I think there's more there. So from my understanding. And so, but overall, and I think the regional one, there was a regional one in Fromage, but it's like very simplified. It's like, okay, whoever has just the most regions like gets, but in this, it's like the flags multiplied by the region. And so it adds a little depth to the, how it scores, but it's very similar in the aspect of how it does. So that's really just the main differences there. It's not anything too crazy. And I think obviously having both is nice because you get a ton more variability.
Sure.
You can mix and match and you can get rid of that wine one that we don't like.
That's true.
And add a different one. So
That makes sense. And I mean, if you love this game, then obviously getting more is not going to be in bad anyway. I guess, yeah. If you're looking for like one cheese game and you don't want all of it, like I think I would just go ahead and say, based on what I've seen with Fromage and having played Fromaggio, I would just recommend getting Fromaggio is kind of my gut.
Unless you like France more than Italy, then you want Fromage.
That's a whole different
Fromage. Fromage is about France.
Yep.
Fromaggio is about Italy. So there's that as well.
There you go. Do you have anything about the game in Fromaggio that you don't like?
Well, we talked about the wine region, the quadrant.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's very dependent, like we talked about a little bit. You're kind of dependent on everybody not messing you up. So, in a way, you can adapt and react. But the problem with a worker placement game, just in general, is that if you get those spots taken that you were really looking for, there's not, you know, there's some ways to bounce back, but it does become challenging. Like, as an example, like if people are going for the gondolas and they took your spot, well, you know, where are you supposed to, you got to go to the outside edge. And it's like, well, that's not going to score as well. So you're going to have to bounce back and reach some on a different board somewhere. And, you know, what if you're trying to build there and a couple people decided, you know what, I'm going to do that too. And so they start taking over. And so it's hard to score. And so you do have to adapt to what's going on. But it is frustrating to sit there and kind of necessarily have to be dependent on, okay, if these people have to leave this open or I'm just not going to be able to score very well. There are specific locations that are really important. And so if people say, you know what, we're going to spread these out equally, it's going to be hard to score a ton in one area. But it should be the same for all players, though. So like, if everybody's deciding, hey, we're going to keep everybody at bay, then it's not just going to be a you problem. It's going to be kind of a, everybody's kind of scoring a little bit everywhere. So there's that. And then one thing we didn't really talk, we talked a little bit about one of the other resources, which was those little market cards or selling cards. Those are fine. You can score a lot of points from them. But sometimes they kind of get in the way of what you're really trying to do. And it's like, well, I'm missing out on points, though. And it, like, what those cards basically would do, they want you to place like a yellow cheese on this silver spot or a white a soft cheese on this spot or a blue cheese on a platinum spot. And so you're like fulfilling these orders like that. And sometimes it's like they're in the way. They're not really going with what your strategy is. And it, you know, it's like you have like the columns or a row and you're trying to work on that. And it wants you to put it, you know, on a thing that's somewhere else. And so that I'm like, you have to choose not to take that. Where in other instances, it works really, really well. It's like flowing with exactly how your strategy is. So that part is fine. I enjoy it. But as an example, in the game I did really well, it was working all together. And the other game, I kind of was fighting it. I hardly had any orders. I think I had like two and scored like 3 points or something. It was not very much. And so it was kind of on the back burner and didn't score a lot. And I think it definitely didn't help my overall score when it came down to the end.
But isn't that kind of like, that's like this game. Is something always has to get sacrificed so you can do well at other spots.
Yeah, but those can be scored no matter what. Like, those can be scored. It's not like you can only score those when you're in that quadrant. There
no, I agree.
Can be scored all yes. the time. And so that's
well,
the one.
There's room for it.
That's the one part of the game that can be scored. It's scored like every turn, you could potentially be scoring those cards.
In theory.
So that's. Yeah. Now, you can only pick them up in specific, you know, season. But if you get a couple of them, then there's, you know, what I would do is pick up two or three every time I passed that location. And I had enough by like turn three to fulfill for the rest of the game. So it's a thought. It's just something I think it's a little bit random in how your strategy goes. It's a nice addition. I'm not saying it shouldn't be there. It is tough. That it's very dependent on which locations are available and what locations, you know, that you're trying to go for. So it's kind of double targeted. So,
yeah, no, that makes sense. The thing I'm going to pick is probably just because I'm not very good at it.
That's what you don't like?
No. I'm about to say it.
Oh,
not the whole game. No. I
don't like this game because I don't. I'm
no,
not good at
the
it.
No, I understand. That was a bad pause. I don't like the fruit. I never feel like the fruit really scores me a lot of points. And those people that have gotten a lot of points from fruit are vastly lower in other areas of play. And so, and then it's like, it's in the way. Like, I want to make these certain things, but I can't because I don't have the fruit to then make the fruit thing. I don't know. It just, it's annoying and not in the way of like a fun, like I'm just actively trying to feed the cheese, which is crazy.
Feed the
I shouldn't
cheese.
Have to feed the cheese fruit.
You should give it to do what I want to do. It's a fruit spread. It's a fruit cheese spread.
I don't even like fruit cheese. Like, I think it's fine.
I don't know that fruity cream cheese. There you go. But no, I think that falls into the same kind of category here of like this thing that could be done on every turn, but it often gets in the way or it's not something I want to do. And so again, yeah, that's something we didn't really talk about. When you're placing these workers down, like there are spots that require fruit that you'll need to be collecting to be able to pay for that spot. And then it goes onto a board and it either goes on as what, a jelly or an actual fruit. And then you multiply those by each one you have together.
Two boards.
And it's very...
So you get like 8 fruit on the board to have like a substantial score from that.
Well, and you can't have it all in fruit. It has to be jelly. Or you have to have a combination of the jelly and the fruit together. So it is... No, I do agree with you on that one. I don't... That one's a little finicky and it very random. Because all this, I don't know, maybe I need to examine the board more of like what spots have the fruit thing. Like, I don't even know what do. I don't think there's any consistency. Maybe there is. Maybe a designer could tell me if.
Ben's going to call you up.
Baby, come on to the show, Ben. I would love to talk about it because I don't know. Like, why is the fruit in specific locations? Because are those stronger? Well, I don't know. Are they? Like, it feels very similar to me. Sometimes it just feels like, oh, this one just has a fruit one. And
this so that's it. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it feels very random. Okay. So I agree with you there.
I'm glad I'm not alone in that.
No, no, no.
I was like, man, this just gets in the way.
That is like almost, it's like compounded the reason I don't like I don't like the aspect of the scoring, those order cards. It's like multiplied by that because now there's two, you have to get two sequences of fruit and jelly cheeses together
and
to multiply together at the end of the game. Yeah. So,
yeah,
it's, because it's no longer just placing the worker down that requires it. Now I have to pay something else.
That's right.
May score me. Like, I scored, I think, 9 points, maybe 9. Like, it's not many points.
It's a small boost. And maybe that's what it's designed to be, is just a little boost to, like, give you a little bit of an edge if you got a close game going on. But I'm just like, I already have to worry about other players getting in my way of doing what I want to do in every quadrant. And now you're putting this other thing in my way to also be frustrating.
Exactly.
Like, I just want to make cheese. And sell it.
No, I agree. Yeah, it's challenging. That part is not as favorable in my mind. It often becomes just like, we're going to pay for what I need, but I'm not going to go out of the way to do this. Don't think it's worth the time. But somebody scored like 20 points the last game we played off fruit. So I don't know.
But then they like tanked several regions. It's like, I don't know, dude.
I don't know. I don't know either. Maybe if you just did it all right, Jared. We're doing it all wrong. We need
so
to do
typical.
It right.
We're always doing it wrong. All right. Final thoughts on this game?
I think this game fits really well with, obviously, a family. And it's easy to teach, easy to get into. This game plays very quickly. I mean, we knocked this game out in what? It felt like less than an hour. I don't know what.
Players.
Yeah. It's simultaneous action, so the game's always evolving and moving quickly. You're not waiting for very much. Sometimes you wait like a full, resolution of a turn, but like that's not even that long. That's like maybe 5 minutes top. So the game moves quickly. You can play it with whoever you can play with. Inexperienced to experienced players. There's a lot of depth here. There's a lot of options, lots of choices, lots of strategic choices, and so I think all of those you're just given such a kind of a blank canvas to kind of work around when you're playing. Like we said, we talked a lot about a lot of things we do like about this game, and those kind of hidden details there of some of the scoring mechanisms are they're fine. They're not taking away from the game by any means. I think this is still an enjoyable game, and I'm really excited for, if I ever get the chance to, I won't be doing it myself. I won't be buying both, but I would love to try the combination of both. Of Fromage and Fromaggio together. I think that'd be pretty neat. So you have a lot of options there, especially if you have Fromage already. So lots of cool things here. fits into that realm of light family game that has a lot of depth as well.
I'm going to say this game is good. To me, this game is not great, and this game is far from bad. It's even far from average. Like, I think it's a good game, and I think if you love cheese, or you love Italy, or you love anything about the theme, you're going to get really hooked. If you're someone who's looking for a streamlined, this is the easiest worker placement game I've ever taught in my life.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking for a streamlined worker placement game, this is it. However, if you are someone who wants to implement what you want to do, and you don't want six different ways to Sunday blocking you and trying to trip you up.
No, that's not going to work.
This is not going to work for you.
Yeah.
Like, and I get it. A lot of worker placements do have that kind of build in. People are going to get in your way. But like, this one's actively wanting you to do it. It's not just, hey, I could take that spot instead of you. It's, oh, crap, you're doing well. I need to stop it. And I'm cool with it. I'm not really against it. I wouldn't even say that's an issue for me personally, but I do want the listeners to be aware of that, because I do think that it has a play in your enjoyment of this game.
I think that really sells into this idea for me that this is meant to be played in a very casual, light, like environment. I imagine like sipping a cup of coffee at a coffee shop.
Oh, bro, you're sipping wine. Come on. Yeah,
I think if you don't drink alcohol, you can drink your cup of coffee.
No one drink. Who drinks coffee with their cheese? What?
I'm saying the vibe of where you would play this is definitely in a very chill environment.
I agree with that. The coffee's tripping me up, but don't... I agree with that.
You know, whatever cheese delight you like, you should delight in your cheese.
If you like to drink coffee with your cheese, hit me up.
I didn't say I like to do that.
I'm talking about the general listenership. That's like that one guy that's like, oh yeah, I drink coffee with my cheese. Hit me up. We need to have a conversation.
I usually drink milk.
I think that's acceptable. Milk is also very different from coffee. When it comes to having it with cheese.
Not my coffee. My coffee is mostly milk.
I'll have a little coffee with my milk, please.
Actually, no, that actually makes the most sense. I take it back. I actually do enjoy coffee with my cheese, because my coffee is 75%, 80% milk products. And
10% flavoring.
Yeah, 10% flavoring and 10% coffee. So there you go. Give me a good latte and call it a day. Let me have some cheese.
What in the world? All right.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt that.
Thanks for just totally derailing my ending thought there. Try out Formaggio. It's good. It is good. I will not say that it's not. I that would be crazy for me to say that it's not a good game. I think it's a lot of fun. Just knowing how games work, I think it probably is an improvement on Fromage, and just kind of seeing how the similarities are. And if you're someone who really wants to have all the cheese in the world, then get both.
Catch them all.
Catch all the cheese. Except for Swiss. Swiss is
no Swiss
in the garbage.
I totally throw it away.
Right there with cottage cheese.
Cast it into the fire. Melt it down.
Yeah. Forge something new.
Forge something new.
Goodness gracious.
A new cheese shall rise up from these ashes.
No. You know what? We're done. Thanks, everybody.
I don't
have a good week.